Something else I wanted to kind of talk about with you, because when I put this in Slack, you had some opinions, and I have some opinions, is Philips Hue is entering the smart camera market for the first time, and I think we're in agreement that they've really, really missed the mark here. Is that about what you're thinking?
Yeah, it's not great. It's, I mean, Hue stuff is always expensive, but this is expensive and quite late to the game, and from the perspective of the Apple user, obviously it doesn't have HomeKit, right? So it's that's like a big draw. I like Philips Hue stuff in general. I call myself a customer. So like my kitchen lights are all Philips Hue lights because they're LEDs. They're like really high quality. I've tried other smart home light stuff, and like the brightness is never as good. The color reproduction is never as good. The range of dimming is not as good. The responsiveness isn't as good. So like. And you do pay a premium, like the Hue bulbs are not cheap,
yeah. But
they do work. And so far, they've lasted a while. Like, I bought some non-smart, just like plain cheap LED bulbs 2 years ago, and they died within like 15 months. So I was like, well, mm-hmm. Yeah, that wasn't great. But this camera situation doesn't seem very enticing, if you want to be kind.
So it's 1080p, has microphones, has motion detection, just like every other smart camera on the market. But where things get bad is the pricing, like you said. So it's $200 for a wired version or $250 for a battery version. But if you want a stand, which I don't know what it ships with without the stand. I don't know. I think it ships with something that's like not adjustable. But if you want an adjustable, what they call desktop stand, it's $30 if you buy it when you buy the camera, or $50 if you buy it separately. Then you also need a subscription every year. So it's $40 a year per camera for 30-day video history, or...
Per camera?
Yeah, per camera.
That's ridiculous.
$100 a year for 60-day video history, again, per camera. That's an investment. You're looking at $300 at least in the first year. Oh, and you also need the Philips Hue Bridge thing, and that's another $50. That's a lot of money for something that I don't know what's different. It's worse in some ways too.
Yeah. If you don't like, obviously there's no HomeKit, right? If you don't care about HomeKit, you can get really cheap security cameras, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can get them for like $50, probably less. Like, you know, if you want to go on your own, you can do like a whole home video security thing, connect up to like a Synology server or something. They have like apps and clients that do it.
Yeah.
But you don't need to be that complicated. You can literally buy like Bluetooth, Wi-Fi cameras that you can just like get an app for. And they're really inexpensive.
Yeah. Eufy sells an indoor camera that has HomeKit and HomeKit secure video. I think it's on sale on Amazon right now for like $40. I have two of those in my house and they're flawless. So I don't see the market for this Philips Hue thing.
And they have an outdoor version,
yeah,
right?
$350.
Yeah, that has a floodlight in it. That's $350. Again, still no HomeKit or anything. I use an Eve outdoor cam, which you can find a review on 9to5 Mac. It's really good. I mean, I did the review in like February and I'd still stand by it today. It's super reliable, works with HomeKit. You know, you get pretty fast notifications, recording. The HomeKit object detection is pretty good. It can like detect people and packages and animals. And if like a person and a package turn up at the same time, the notification says, here's the person and the package. And then most of the time, the face recognition works as well. Like, and it's never really like not worked. Like, I think there's like twice where like HomeKit kind of glitched out, so like it didn't connect to the camera, but you just like flick the power on it and turn it back on, it comes back. It's like, it's really hard to beat, and that's $250, so that's $100 less, and there's no additional subscription, like, because you just get it as part of the iCloud plan.
I think what Philips Hue is trying to do here is create like a whole ecosystem of security like products, because they also announced some contact sensors that you like put on a door or a cabinet and you get an alert if it's left open. Then they updated the Philips Hue app with a new, they call it Security Center, where you can manage your cameras and all your sensors. And the thing is, the Philips Hue app, it's not great. It's gotten a little bit better, but I have actively avoid opening it because it still has that problem where if you like make one change in the Philips Hue app and like it doesn't sync properly with the home app, like
So basically, if you change something in the Philips app, it will move all of your Philips HomeKit connected accessories to rooms in the home app based on the names in the Hue app. But if you've moved, like if you do all your management of your accessories in the home app, so you've like moved it to a different room or you've, you know, renamed it or whatever, the Philips app has no awareness of that, so it just resets it consistently. It's like terrible. Yeah,
I have 2 Philips Hue bulbs that have died recently, and I've been avoiding replacing them just because I know I'm like scared it's going to be a huge hassle.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess we should also say Philips Hue Matter support for their bridge, which practically speaking, I don't think that really means anything because Philips Hue already support. The idea of Matter is that it's like interoperable between HomeKit and Alexa and Google Home, but the Hue bridge already supports all of those platforms. So I don't really know what the benefit here is. I guess maybe better reliability and speed if your other HomeKit or other smart home accessories are Matter enabled, but am I missing something?
I mean, there's a theoretical benefit that now that the Matter is like an open standard, right? Theoretically, somebody else could come along with a smart assistant and automatically work with that without having to, you know, get proprietary support from every manufacturer. But practically speaking, I don't think it's going to happen. So if your stuff already supported your smart assistant of choice, then it's kind of irrelevant. And the HomeKit situation is like Matter is HomeKit just open sourced, right? So like the benefits of HomeKit are like, you know, easy setup with the QR code and local device control. Like the Google and Amazon and Alexa implementations would always go over the internet and stuff. So if you use the Matter versions on those platforms, you do actually get a bit of a performance boost. But like if you're already doing it through HomeKit, there's no difference at all. So yeah, for Apple HomeKit users, if something suddenly supports Matter, is like kind of irrelevant. Matter only really matters if there's something that didn't support HomeKit before and now it supports Matter, so you can add it to the home app.
And we should say also that just because the bridge now supports Matter, that doesn't mean anything for the cameras because the Matter standard doesn't currently support cameras, if that makes any sense at all.
But yeah, the Matter standard is still limited to like lights and switches and thermostats and stuff. There's no camera support. And part of that is because a lot of these companies, as we just spoke about, want to charge you for camera features like recording and stuff. So I don't think they're that keen on just making it open and free.
One of the benefits of, I guess, what Philips Hue has done with their cameras is that they are end-to-end encrypted. And some of the internet-connected cameras that come from other brands that don't feature home secure video, I think it was Eufy that had that big privacy. And I just said I use Eufy cameras, but I use them with HomeKit Secure Video, which means I don't interact with Eufy itself or Eufy servers or anything at all. I think I used the Eufy app to connect, then immediately moved to HomeKit and enabled HomeKit Secure Video, which is end-to-end encrypted. But I don't think that justifies the price at all, nor does it justify the subscription.
No, this isn't a great... Like, even if the products were like perfectly competitive, $40 a year per camera is like a no-go. Like,
how much is HomeKit?
So expensive.
How much is HomeKit Secure Video? It's like,
well, it's just free, isn't it? It's included
if you
iCloud.
Pay.
So you have to pay for iCloud, and then there's no extra charge.
But it's limited to what, 3 cameras?
It's unlimited if you get the
iCloud top plan. Tier. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But even the top tier iCloud is $10 a month.
Yeah. And gives
and
you other
that's
things.
That's giving you iCloud storage, you know? Like, $40 a year for one camera is, like, mental. Like, that's... If you get 3 Philips Hue cameras, you're paying more than a 1 terabyte iCloud plan. Or 2 terabyte iCloud plan. And you're not even getting any storage, you know? It's like...
I don't know if Philips Hue is long for this smart home world.
Their lights are good.
Because their lights are good, but A, they're expensive. And other lights have gotten a lot better now that there's Thread and Matter.
That is true.
And Philips Hue also still requires the bridge, which is another barrier of entry. I think a lot of people, like me, have a big Philips Hue system, because when we like started a smart home, it was the best option. It was expensive, but it was the best option. But since then, if I was doing it all over again, I wouldn't even buy smart bulbs. I would buy smart switches.
Yeah, you do like Lutron Casera or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to think what Philips Hue offers, like some of their like accent lighting things, which if you think the camera is expensive, those, some of those accent lighting things are insane.
Some of the lighting stuff is mental as well, but
I just feel like Matter and Thread and all of that isn't very good news for Philips Hue.
Yeah, they've got an ecosystem, right? Like, people live in it. People with a lot of money can probably keep them bobbing along for a while. And if they want to get a bit more competitive, they can just make the same bulbs and just make a Matter of exclusive, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think there's a path to existing, but the Philips Hue bridge situation probably won't last forever. But it does, I can't deny their reliability. Like,
yeah,
pretty fast to respond. They always work. And if you don't have a HomeKit or anything, you can just use their remotes and they control the lights directly. Like, you don't have to go through a bridge or a relay or anything. So, and the LEDs are pretty good. Like, they're pretty good quality. So,
we are sponsored this week by Backblaze. Backblaze makes backing up and accessing your data astonishingly easy. For just $7 a month, you get unlimited backup for Macs, PCs, and businesses, letting you save your documents, music, photos, videos, and everything else right to the cloud. You can access your backed up data from anywhere in the world using the Backblaze website or via a dedicated application on your iPhone. But here's one of the coolest things about Backblaze. If you lose all of your data, you can go to Backblaze and request a hard drive with your data be shipped right to your door. You can then use that hard drive to restore your data, then simply send the drive back to Backblaze within 30 days and get a full refund. Backblaze is the one company to trust to back up all of your data and has restored over 55 billion files for its customers. You can get a 15-day, no credit card required free trial by going to backblaze.com/daily or just hit the link in the show notes below. Again, backblaze.com/daily, and my thanks to Backblaze for supporting the show.
They're definitely a premium option. They're like the Philips Hue prices are like what Apple would price their bulbs at.
Yeah, that's true.
Sold Apple bulbs, you know.
You've made a couple other smart home upgrades since you moved, because it's not all Philips Hue, is it? You've got a couple other things.
Yeah, I got the Eve outdoor camera, right?
So
that was one of them. I got Eve motion sensor, which drives the Hue cameras in the kitchen, which I did speak about the Magic Occupancy home bridge thing. We spoke about it on, I believe, on episode Happy Hour before you joined. But there is a post on Notify Mac about that as well. Oh yeah, and I did get Hue living room ceiling lights, which were like £100 each, so they weren't cheap either.
Oh.
But they do work and they do look pretty nice. So yeah, I think that's only it. I probably don't plan on buying anything else from Hue. Like, I literally did the kitchen lights because they're like recessed spotlights, so like there's literally no other choice. And then the living room was like the main room that I wanted to like look nice, so I like paid extra to have it good. But like the other rooms, I'll probably just do like the problem with the UK is we don't have like a good Lutron Casera alternative right now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. There is one, but it's there is one called Lightwave, which I have used, and it's not bad, but you can't, the big issue for Britain is the lack of neutral wiring at the switch. So you have to use dimming bulbs, and the dimming non-Hue bulbs are kind of rubbish. In America, you can just have lights that turn fully on and off, right? Because you've got the circuitry behind the switch. But over here, we don't really have that. So it's a bit more of a mess. So Hue is a more attractive option, i.e. or alternatives that just, you know, do it at the bulb level or whatever.
And so what about smart locks?
Don't have any smart locks.
That's another UK difference, isn't it?
Yeah, there isn't there's some name for the kind of lock that's on my front door, and it's not the kind of lock that works with the smart lock situations at the moment. So if I wanted to get that, I'd have to get a whole new door, which isn't really a practical option. Yeah. Do you have a smart lock then?
Yes, I have three smart locks. One on the front door, it's the older version of the August. So it's the August 2 second generation, maybe. It connects to the little hub thing that you plug into the wall, which is like the Wi-Fi bridge, I guess. But then on another door, we have, on both of their doors, we have the newest August 3 smart lock, I think is what it's called. But it has Wi-Fi built in, so you don't need the bridge. All of those are rock solid with HomeKit and Siri and everything. I had the, remember that brand Friday?
Yeah.
They made that smart lock that was like quote unquote stylish. And people said it was like if Apple made a smart lock. And that thing sucked. That thing was terrible. The reliability was awful. I'm trying, I think they went out of business or
too many returns.
Something probably happened. You can still buy one, apparently. I can say I would not recommend it. They sent me one, and I mentioned it in a post I did, and I was like, I can't recommend this. And they got kind of mad, and I was like, it just doesn't work well with HomeKit, and it only works via HomeKit. Although now their website says, coming soon, new product release.
Ooh.
So maybe they're still alive.
Maybe they're trying again. Yeah, the home key ones are more compelling.
Yeah, now I don't have one of those, but I don't necessarily see the benefit of home key if you just have, like, I don't know, like automation set up to unlock the doors when you get home, if that makes sense. Like,
Yeah. I think those are a bit like flaky, though. Like, they're not, some people can't, like, they, like, the geolocation of HomeKit is not a strength of HomeKit, I would say.
So, really? Because in CarPlay, yeah, like when you get home, it pops up right on the screen. And I have it set up so CarPlay pops up and prompts me to open the garage.
Well, so I will say my, I have an Eve, that's what I have. I have an Eve, as well as the Eve outdoor cam, I have an Eve indoor cam as like indoor security.
Yeah.
And that one I have set to only record when I'm not at home. Because if I'm at home, I'm at home, right? And right, it was like,
yeah,
giving notifications away from my home. So that's based on the geolocation of HomeKit. Sometimes HomeKit randomly thinks I've left the house when I'm here.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't want to depend on that for my door lock, if you see what I mean. So what I want, like what HomeKit allows you to do is just like a contactless payment. You can just hold your Apple Watch up to the key and mm-hmm. walk in the door. So that's pretty interesting. But again, the UK situation kind of inhibits that.
Yeah. What I do is like the CarPlay thing pops up for the garage door, and that's,
and you like tap the button. Yeah,
I tap the button, and then I have an automation when garage door opens, there's like the door inside the garage door to the house, like in the garage, and that unlocks when the garage door opens. Because you can't do HomeKit automations for devices that allow like entry into your home, I think.
Yeah, because they want you to unlock your phone to allow it or something. It's something like that.
Yeah, you have to approve any automation that's going to unlock your door, open your garage. But what I did was just string together that automation where I approved the garage door, start of the process to also unlock the door. It works. It works well. But yeah, those August smart locks are super reliable.
So just in that last segment, we spoke about August and Friday. And this is the last day on... this is a Friday, the last day of August when this episode comes out.
No, now I can't publish it on Thursday. I gotta wait. Well, happy September, happy Friday, and that's about it for this week.
Yep, we'll have the iPhone season starting very, very soon.
Very, very soon. I wonder what they'll be next week. I wonder if we'll see last minute leaks or if it's going to be slow. I don't know. It's different every year. It's different every year. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, where you can get an ad-free version of the show for $5 a month or $50 a year. Send us feedback at happyhour@9to5mac.com. You can find me on all of the great social networks, Twitter, Mastodon, Threads, and Instagram at Chance H. Miller. And Mayo, what about you?
BZA Mayo in all the places.
All the places. All right. Thanks, Mayo.
Bye-bye.